from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist. This is your news for the first week of June 2024. Louisiana forces schools to display Ten Commandments. Christians and their goddamn Ten Commandments. You would think that these ten laws are the most important rules on earth. In reality, with the exception of its prohibition against murder and theft, the rest of the laws are useless. Three of them are all about God wanting to be recognized and not to celebrate other deities. Then there's the warning to listen to your parents, which sounds great until you realize that it also says that kids who disobey need to be stoned to death. There's mention of not cheating on your spouse, but realistically, this is the most busted of all commandments. So while the Ten Commandments are fine for those of us who have not taken a modern civics class, one thing is for sure, that it does not belong in public schools. Well, that's something the state of Louisiana and I seem to disagree about. You see, schools across the state are now being forced to display the Ten Commandments in classrooms, presumably to continue to shove Christianity in our faces. The purpose is not solely religious, Senator Jay Morris, West Monroe, told the Senate. Rather, it is the Ten Commandments' historical significance, which is simply one of many documents that display the history of our country and foundation of our legal system. Foundation of your legal system? Hardly. You wouldn't be able to govern a group of people, let alone a country, with such a limited document. In reality, it's nothing more than poorly disguised sectarianism, pretending to be education. All of this is only going to initiate countless lawsuits, which is going to cost the state a pretty penny. We're going to spend valuable state resources defending the law when we really need to be teaching our kids how to read and write, Duplessis, a practicing Catholic senator, said. I don't think this is appropriate for us to mandate. And now you know where the priorities of senator like Jay Morris are. Spend countless resources trying to pretend that Christianity is integral to the nation when it's nothing more than a major hindrance. Enjoy the lawsuits, morons. Doomsday Cult Prophets' Wild Murder Plot. If you've ever read John Krakauer's excellent book, Under the Banner of Heaven, you may already be aware of the apocalyptic sects that exist within Mormonism. When you think of the Church of Latter-day Saints, usually what comes to mind is the rather silly elements of the faith, their weird obsession with magic underwear, the idea that Jesus came from another planet, and their prohibition on everything from alcohol to caffeine. What Krakauer discussed in his book is the fundamentalist aspect of Mormonism, which tends to bring the worst out of people. Chad Daybell was such a fundamentalist. He began his career by writing religious fiction, which at first helped him quit his job while working as a gravedigger. His earnings were modest, and so, to avoid having to continue to work in a job he obviously hated, his writings began to take on a darker and more apocalyptic tone. This found him a larger audience, and he started getting more popular among Mormon extremists. Chad's stories echoed the worrisome changes that were happening in his mind. He spoke of God talking directly to him, specifically telling him about the end times. He claimed later to have experienced several near-death experiences, and that the results were that he could now receive supernatural visions. His fiction was beginning to merge with his real life. Things really started to take a turn when he met a woman named Lori Cox, a former contestant of the Miss Texas beauty pageant. Cox was on her fourth marriage by then, one of which had produced a son named Joshua, although everyone called him JJ. She quickly became obsessed with Daybell and his strange sermons. By 2019, the two had convinced one another that they had been married in previous lives, but both refused to get a divorce from their current spouses. They wished to find other means to be together. Cox's husband, Charles Vallow, began to suspect that his life was in danger. He started off by getting a protective order and changing his life insurance policy so that the beneficiary would be his sister. Eventually, he decided that he wanted to make his marriage work again, and so the order was rescinded. Then, a few months later, Charles was shot by Lori's brother, Alex, who claims that it was self-defense. Later that day, neighbors reported that Lori had a party not long after. No charges were filed for the killing. In September of that year, Lori told JJ's school that he was being put out of class and that she would be homeschooling him. No one had either seen or heard of him or his adoptive sister, Ty Lee, for quite some time. They were both dead, though no one knew this yet. In October, Chad's wife, Tammy, had been shot in her driveway by a masked man. The gun, which had either jammed or not been loaded properly, did not work. When she reported it to police, they thought the whole thing was a prank, until 10 days later when they found her dead body. Chad claimed it was from natural causes and refused an autopsy. The incompetent police obliged him until sometime later when it was finally exhumed, when all the suspicious deaths began to be properly investigated. Finally, in June 2020, the bodies of Joshua and Ty Lee were discovered on Chad's property. Forensic reports indicate that JJ had been asphyxiated. Ty Lee's cause of death could not be determined, but evidence did suggest that they had attempted to dismember her. The trials are still ongoing. Both have turned on each other and claim that they were emotionally manipulated by the other. It's rather typical of these kinds of trials. Both murderers are unwilling to take responsibility for their crimes. Two children are dead, as well as both of their spouses, and yet they cannot even fathom that all of this was the result of their actions. Instead, these delusional killers would rather blame outside forces than their own decisions. This is the true danger of faith. It transforms people into mindless robots who think that their actions are mandated by an all-powerful being. It's truly terrifying. Church volunteer arrested for sexually abusing kids. A woman named Angela Marie Klickner has been arrested by the Mesa County Sheriff's Office over allegations that she sexually assaulted several children. Klickner was a church volunteer, and as such, she had a great deal of access and power over the kids she was responsible for. The details are scant, and no doubt as the investigation continues, more details will be forthcoming during her trial. We do not yet know how many children were affected by this, or the extent of the abuse. One has to wonder just how many of these abusers are employed by the church. Judging by how often these kinds of incidents get exposed, it's terrifying to consider just how many horrible people there are out there, patiently waiting to pounce on the innocent. I wouldn't be surprised if the problem only gets worse. Churches need volunteers, and with the fewer candidates they have, they are more likely to hire someone with deep psychological issues. Coupled with the fact that religion often masks mental illness, and you have a recipe for disaster. When the details of this becomes public, TGA will report on it, so stay tuned. Dead influencer to be canonized. In a desperate attempt to appeal to more young people, the Vatican has announced that a young man by the name of Carlo Acutis, who died recently due to complications with leukemia, will become a saint after a so-called miracle attributed to the youth. The Vatican has been on a canonizing tear recently. Only a few years ago, 10 new saints were added. Some had been dead for a while. One such person, an Indian man who had converted to Christianity in 1745, was subsequently tortured and killed for trying to spread his faith. Another, born in the 1500s, was a party boy who eventually dedicated his life to spreading the church's lies. He died in 1607. it appears that these old stuffy saints were doing little to attract new converts. It's why they must have thanked their lucky stars when Acutis began to make social media posts about his faith. Although his parents were not particularly religious, when the family immigrated to Italy, the young man began to take an immediate interest in the religion. As is pretty typical in these situations, the miracle is pretty mundane stuff. On July 8, 2022, Liliana prayed at Blessed Carlo's tomb in Assisi, leaving a letter describing her plea. 6 days earlier, on July 2nd, her daughter Valeria had fallen from her bicycle in Florence, where she was attending university. She had suffered severe head trauma and required craniotomy surgery and the removal of the right occipital bone to reduce pressure on her brain, with what her doctor said was a very low chance of survival. Liliana's secretary began praying immediately to Blessed Carlo Acutis, and on July 8th, Liliana made her pilgrimage to the tomb of Assisi. That same day, the hospital informed her that Valeria had begun to breathe spontaneously. The next day, she began to move and partially regain her speech. I mean, it seems like this is more of a testament to the young woman's doctors. Let's not forget that she was also in the prime of her life, so making a dramatic recovery was not an impossibility. I have to wonder just how many people troll hospitals praying to random dead people for a miracle. If the prayer fails, do they get deducted a point? Seems as though they are only interested in the hits rather than the misses. They also never seem to lose any points when people pray to saints and fail to make a recovery. If people were keeping score, it would be a different matter, I'm sure. Still, what else do you expect from a cult that dresses up in weird outfits and claims to speak to their imaginary friend? Texas wants to make the Bible mandatory in schools. Will religion ever tire of their quest for power? For all our sakes, I wish they would. It's not enough that they benefit from our largesse by paying no taxes. Some of these organizations own properties in key locations, depriving municipalities of much-needed income. Their clergy constantly lobbies the government for more money. Even the Supreme Court has allowed loopholes that churches exploit to get the state to pay for vouchers so they get public money for teaching utter nonsense to their followers. Need I even mention the attack on women's bodies? The fight is endless. TGA has recently reported on Louisiana mandating the Ten Commandments in classrooms. This is merely the opening act, for now Texas wants in on the shenanigans. The Republican-led House is passing a massive bill that will include over 50 insane provisions. Some include rules for further gerrymandering their district to avoid any hope of Democrats making headway. However, others are far more radical, like forcing public schools to teach the Bible. The platform also takes a step further from the party's previous calls for more Christianity in public life. The 2022 platform proclaimed that the United States was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, for instance, and demanded the repeal of federal prohibitions on political activity by churches. The 2024 platform goes significantly further. It urges lawmakers and the State Board of Education to require instruction on the Bible, servant leadership, and Christian self-governance, and supports the use of religious chaplains in schools, which was made legal under a law passed by the state legislature last year. This is just the beginning for these guys. The right has become more radicalized, and the rule of law, the Constitution, and anything that does not serve the unification of the church with the state is an obstacle they plan on destroying. I think it's getting clear here that the fight is going to get tougher moving forward. The church's overstepping its boundaries has alienated people, which is why the percentage of religiously affiliated folks continues to drop, but atheism stagnates. The people are disassociating religiously, but they are not actively fighting or rejecting the rise of Christofascism. They are simply disengaging politically, and this has opened the door wide open for the next generation of extremists that wish to transform their country into a Christian nation. It's also terrifyingly vague what kind of Christianity this is at the end of the day. Let us remember that there are thousands of denominations and variations, and that the conflicts that often punctuated these schisms were only finally put to bed when the state became neutral on the subject of all religions. All religious states are constantly engrossed in miniature inquisitions, with religious minorities often being harassed, isolated, or even killed. The situation in Gaza is the perfect example. Religious states are the most unstable, dangerous places on Earth. For the world's largest superpower, with the most powerful military in the history of mankind, to become a Christian nation would unleash generations of never-ending conflict and strife. All of this danger, just so they can try and further shove this so-called loving God in our faces. It's frustrating and exhausting to fight these guys who have endless money, legions of unthinking drones, and increasingly more political power. And what do we have? A bunch of podcasts and blogs. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so tragic. Russell Brand's grift is pathetic and sad. There's a fairly predictable trajectory for fading movie stars. When no one wants to put you in a mainstream movie, it's time to start sucking at the teat of Christianity. Actors like Melissa Joan Hart, Kevin Sorbo, and Kirk Cameron have all found limited success by becoming Christian shills. Jesus lovers are always eager to separate themselves from their money anytime someone strokes their ego. You can now add conspiracy theorist and general douchebag Russell Brand to that rather undistinguished list of hucksters. For the last few years, Russell has found success in conspiracy theories, which tend to attract fringe Christian groups. He's now made the transition to full-on Jesus huckster. I'm sure his pocketbook is thanking him, since no one with half a brain cell ever tunes in to his pathetic attempts to be relevant. During his early YouTube career, Brand was making videos about the importance of meditation, mindfulness, and other topics that attracted very little attention. It was only when he started making dangerously misinformed videos where he questioned the COVID-19 vaccine did he start to gain any traction. This got him roughly 20 times the views, and his channel was finally making him money. He learned quickly that if you want to make bank on the internet, you need to give the people what they want, stroke their fears, speak to their irrationality, and then pretend you're all doing this for some higher power. Recently, he's been accused of sexual assault, and this has spurred him into religious action. The cover of faith is a powerful one, especially when you need to wash away all of your sins. It's pretty standard MO for Americans when they get into trouble. Did you cheat on your wife or embezzle a bunch of money? Just say you found Jesus and your peers will fall over themselves in order to forgive you. It's practically a don't do jail because religious people are rubes card. And trust me when I say that grifters like Brand will do just about anything to survive. Ohio pastor threatens pride event. If there's one provision in their faith that Christians cannot seem to abide by, it's the love thy neighbor part. I can understand the confusion. When your God tells you to love your neighbor as yourself, and then simultaneously commands that you kill all the males and non-virgin women to take over their land, it can all seem hard to follow at the end of the day. It would certainly explain their schizophrenic behavior when it comes to getting along with others. In the city of Ashtabula in Ohio, Pride Parade organizers have declared that, despite the implicit threats made by many of the clergy there, they will still be going through with their planned event. The city had allowed the parade to take part at the local beach, and it didn't take long for religious assholes to start making threats during a city council meeting. David Latow, pastor for Country Gospel Church, read a passage from Romans 1 about uncleanness and then related it to a pride festival. "What they're doing is teaching perversion to our children," Latow said. "We as a city are responsible for making sure that no decadence and perverse things go on. It's worthy of death. It says in the Bible." Naturally, the gutless council did nothing to point out that this was a fairly explicit threat. In Christian communities, we just call that a Thursday. It didn't take long for yet another pastor named James Combs to make his own threats, shortly after saying that he was being mischaracterized and that he had a gay friend. Here's the quote that he thinks is innocent.
"It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a milestone tied around their necks," Combs said. "So watch yourselves. We are called to watch over our children."
How neighborly. I'm getting all choked up thinking about it. In any case, the brave organizers of the events are undeterred by these awful people. The problem, however, is that pastors like Combs are simply the linchpin to a greater evil. Their flock can be composed of twisted vigilantes that think they are protecting children. Their minds have been filled with hateful lies, and these typical underachievers have the same messiah complex that deluded suicide bombers often have. Even if nothing happens in this event, the fact that a city council did nothing to stop or counter the hateful rhetoric of these religious nutballs only emboldens them. Their political cowardice is going to cost some innocent lives eventually. There is a powder keg brewing in America, fueled by the anti-liberalism of the religious right. We should all be deeply troubled and equally worried by their animosity towards their fellow man. And with that, I'd like to thank all my listeners and Patreon supporters especially. Have a good Atheist Day, everyone.